Did you notice no one was cast as the Christ child in the play? I've been to a few living nativity scenes where they actually have a baby there, and it feels kind of weird. Most of them, it just ends up being a doll. I think we did have a doll, didn't we? Yeah. No lines for the baby Jesus, which brings us to the question of the day. What did the Christ child do for Christmas, for the first Christmas? Now, one, I gotta get out of here and said, did everybody get something for Christmas? Okay, now I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I got this shirt, so y'all, the rest of y'all are eating dust, okay? All right, okay. So this was my Christmas. So we'll get back into this, okay. Or really, what did the Christ child do in the Christmas story? We kind of covered it. We didn't get Zechariah and Elizabeth, and we didn't get Simeon and Anna on the end, but we covered everything in there, and near as I can tell, he didn't do anything, okay? Pretty much nothing. I read the whole story three times looking for anything the Christ child did, and the only sentence I can find, and this is not a sentence, this is a clause with any action at all, is the baby lying in a manger, okay? Everything else in the story is done by somebody else. The great heroes, Mary and Joseph, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're doing the doing, okay? Baby Jesus is not doing anything, okay? Now, for those of us who have been around zero-year-old babies, that's not uncommon, is it? Okay. And I read an article the other day in Christianity Today magazine about things that we get wrong about Christmas, you know, and one of them is three wise men, but I won't go there. You know, we'll let Barry have his thunder on that. But one of the things it was he didn't cry. Well, you know, in a way in a manger, it says no crying he makes. But for most of us who have been around a baby, probably did do some crying. Okay, probably did do some crying. But other than that, doesn't do anything. And so we have to ask ourselves, if we're putting Christ back in Christmas exactly, what are we putting back into the story? Okay? Because the story is about him, but he's not an actor in any of it, is he? Okay. And so this brings us here real quickly. The Christ child didn't do. He was. Okay. It wasn't action. It was who he was that matters. Now, we have, in the United States, we have a little trouble with this because we don't have hereditary kings and leaders, okay? If you live in a kingdom, you know, when the heir is born, it's a big thing, even though the heir is kind of like the baby Jesus, not able to do anything, okay? We see it occasionally. We still love the English crown, and we saw it with Kate and William's firstborn. That was a, let's see, one, two, three in line. But we get the idea that it doesn't have to have any particular talent, doesn't have to have any particular schooling to be who he is, because he or she is who she is, because who she is his. And I'm running out of this sentence real fast, but you get the idea, don't you? Okay. It was important that he existed. It was important that he came without doing anything. And so that makes us realize that as the story progresses, from the time that he's 12 on and he starts doing anything, how much more there is added to the story of the gospel. So what was he? Okay, what I meant to put quotations about. What was the was? What was the was that he was when he didn't do anything? Okay. Sounds a little bit for you teachers like my career in grade school. Okay. I was, but I wasn't doing much. Okay. All right. All right. Well, first, he was a sign. Okay. Now, we cannot comprehend, particularly those of us who have grown up in churches, what it was like for the whole world to be living, having lived for centuries and centuries and centuries, to be living without the grace which this little baby brought. To be living under a system of laws, under a system where the general goodness was not accepted, okay, where might made right, where all these things happened to people, okay, like Joseph, like Mary. You know, part of the story is Joseph is escaping the leaders of his day. He's on the run with Mary, and on the run to Egypt with the Christ child, and comes back and has to decide where to live based on who is the king, okay. And they lived without this grace, okay. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And we say, well, what in the world kind of sign is that? Well, if you, like the wise men at the Magi, you go and you find the baby, it is a sign. But, and it is a sign for many things to come, which we know from the gospel story. But we have to ask, why the swaddling clothes? Y'all know what swaddling is? Everybody know what swaddling is? It means that you took a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or an adult's clothes and made baby clothes out of them. Okay, just wrapped them. Too big, you know. Not onesies. Not the stuff you buy at Babies R Us for exorbitant amounts of money. Okay. So this idea of a baby that can't do anything, this idea of a baby who is royal but is not in the trappings of royalty, okay, is a special sign for us, isn't it? It's a special sign for them. And you know, I think Mary probably got it, but I've got to think that every once in a while Joseph looked down and says, I'm really not sure where this is going. Okay, and we can imagine that. The second thing was he was a promise. Okay, those who have had children that they didn't think they were going to have, those of us who have had children of a special condition, those of us who have had something special, realize how special it is to have been told you're going to get something and get it. But that's not really the promise, is it? Okay. Christ child was foretold. You know, when the wise men show up in Jerusalem, Herod's scribes, they know where to look for him. Okay, everybody seemed to have known looking for him, but that's not the real promise, is it? Okay. She'll bear a son, and you must call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And now we have to ask ourselves, is this the baby Jesus, as Ricky Bobby said in Talladega Nights, or is this the grown Jesus that's doing the saving? Okay. And the answer is yes. Salvation has come into the world. Because with the Lord, promise and fulfillment are congruent. I used a word from you. Okay. We know they fit. They're the same. There's not a difference between them. And it was a rain. At the end of World War II, Hirohito was the emperor of Japan. And the atomic bombs had been dropped. And it was obvious to everybody but the Japanese general staff that the war was lost. And they had an interesting ceremony that they went through where the prime minister and the chief of staff and two or three others would go sit with the emperor. And of course they had the grass mats they sat with their legs crossed, as was their style. And it had always been the tradition that the emperor reigned. R-E-I-G-N-E-D, but he did not rule. Okay. And so they came to report to him, and he said something. And he basically said, the war is over. He ruled for just a minute. Okay. And later, he makes this broadcast to the people of Japan. They have never heard his voice. Okay. All this time, he has been reigning without doing anything. He's been in charge without doing anything. Christ, the Christ child, was in some way that we're probably never going to fully understand in this world, in charge while he was the little baby, no crying he makes or not. So if you think about all this, all the hard stuff, okay, all the hard stuff, the cosmic stuff, was done. And Steve Singleton thinks that we're in 5 BC, okay, in that story that we've just seen here in the play. The fulfillment has begun. The train has started moving. The story has been told that has an ending with that little baby that didn't do anything. So I'm going to finish with, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So I'm going to finish with three questions. Okay. Three important Christian questions. Who promised the baby? The baby didn't promise himself. Who promised him? Isaiah? Who promised the baby? Oh, you did? Okay, all right. The angels? God? Okay. Made the promise. The one thing we find out if we read our Bibles is God's promises are trustworthy. He doesn't break them. Sometimes people break them, but he doesn't break them. He was promised by God, who guarded the baby. Now it gets a little more interesting, doesn't it? Okay. It gets a little more interesting. The Lord comes to the wise men in a dream and says, don't tell Herod where Jesus is. Joseph, I'm guessing, taking that gold and frankincense and myrrh is traveling money, takes the baby, and you got to guess there's a little danger involved there when you're running from a king as mean as Herod, and guards him. You can imagine his mother holding him. Okay? When they come back, they have to go back to Nazareth. They can't go back to Bethlehem due to the political situation. Okay? These people, and this is the great part of the Christmas story, guarded that little child. And we have to wonder, could he really have been harmed? Because he was also being guarded by the Lord. But these questions now turn from the cosmic to the earthly, and they turn from the 5 BC to the 2016, almost 2017, to ask you this: who's guarding the baby today? Okay. Well, we haven't got a baby Jesus, do we? Do we have the doll? It doesn't matter. You know, when Ricky Bobby and talks about, I like the baby Jesus better than the grown Jesus, we realize that he doesn't really understand what went on, did he? Okay. But who guards the Jesus today? Well, I submit to you, this is part of this, is our job. Okay? Because the mission of that baby, the mission of that 12-year-old boy that ends up in the temple, the mission of that 30-something man who begins his ministry at his baptism and ends it, I guess we would say, at his at the Great Commission after his death and his resurrection, that mission is kind of in our hands, isn't it? So we don't have to take the baby Jesus to Egypt, okay? But we do need to take his word and guard it. Guard it in our hearts, guard it in our communities, and don't let it be blasphemed. Don't let it be made of null effect by disbelief. And finally, who recognized the baby? You remember, we didn't cover the story of Elizabeth. You remember John the Baptist's mother? She was older, a kinsman of Mary. And when Mary came to announce to Elizabeth what had happened to her, you remember what happened? The baby turned, didn't he? The baby, John the Baptist, recognized him before he was born. Elizabeth recognized him. I guess Zachariah did. We would be sure that Joseph did. And there's absolutely no doubt that Mary recognized. Absolutely no doubt that Mary recognized the baby. The shepherds recognized the baby. Herod recognized the baby. Why? Because he was afraid of it. So afraid he wanted to kill it. The wise man. We wonder if people in Egypt recognized the baby. But this brings the story really to us today. Okay. Do we recognize the baby? We don't know what he looks like. Okay. We got no photographs. The paintings, I think, are all stylized. A number of the Renaissance painters used models for the religious paintings of the day. But it becomes more and more important that we recognize that little baby in our lives and in our interactions with other people, so that the sign, the promise, and the rain aren't just something that happened 2,000 years ago. Okay. The stuff about that little baby that didn't require any action on his part exists today. And to use a sports metaphor, the ball is in our court. Who will recognize the baby Jesus?